Strong encouragement today from Pastor Ray Bentley.
In the face of opposing winds, storms, the enemy jumping in on top of that, trying to discourage you, faith decides and determines that no matter what I feel like, I know that God, my God, is for me. I am purposed in my heart to believe that He means for my good.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We all fall into two categories, those who are facing significant challenges and those who will be. And the Lord promises that He'll walk with us through the fire. Today, Pastor Ray points out an encounter Jesus had with someone who needed His help with a crisis. Let's see how He met the need. Here's Pastor Ray.
Okay, I want you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. The title of the message is Faith for a Miracle. And we read in verse 24 and 25, it says, "From there He, Jesus, arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And He entered a house and wanted," listen to this, "no one to know it. But He could not be hidden." You can't light, you know, if you have light like Jesus, you can't hide it. But here we find that He actually wanted to be hidden. He wanted to get alone. He wanted to be able to rest. And we read in verse 25 why He was not able to be alone and why He could not find rest. "For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about Him, and she came and fell at His feet." All right, let's just stop there for a moment. This is a very unusual thing that is happening in the life and ministry of Jesus at this time. Jesus takes a rare trip outside the land of Israel. He is going to the area of Tyre and Sidon. It's in the north, it's beyond the northern border of Israel. It is the modern day country of Lebanon. How many of you know that God loves the Lebanese people? God sent His Son Jesus Christ to Lebanon because He loves them. I know that that's a place that has had much war and turmoil, and the believers have battled many, many spiritual battles. But there is a tremendous remnant of brothers and sisters who are there in Lebanon, and oh, how the Lord loves them. He went there personally. And He went there, interestingly, to get alone and to have some rest, and there was a house that apparently had been made available. And it is also worth noting, as I put here in your notes, that Jesus of Nazareth rarely traveled to non-Jewish areas in His lifetime. In fact, most of the conversations with people that He had were in the Jewish community, and it was very rare that He had a conversation with someone that was outside of the Jewish community. Why? Because in Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus said He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, why was Jesus only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? And it's very simple, the answer. Because He was sent as the Messiah to bring the promise that God had made to Abraham. Now, we know that ultimately, through the Abrahamic blessing and promise, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, that eventually all the nations of the earth would be blessed through the Messiah. Amen? But in the beginning, He wanted to start with the people who would receive the promise right from the very beginning, and that was the Jewish people. And of course, in due time, the gospel would go to all the ends of the earth. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. But here we find this interesting woman who is outside the land of Israel, you might say outside of the promised land, and she has a lot of things against her. Number one, we could say her nationality was against her. She wasn't Israeli. She wasn't of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She was a Gentile. Jesus was a Jew. So she had that, you might say, against her at that point. Secondly, she was a woman. And the society in that day was dominated by men, not only in Israel, but in Lebanon as well. Thirdly, Satan was against this woman, for he had taken one of his demons who had taken control of her daughter. And as we unravel this conversation that Jesus has with this woman, this is one of the strangest conversations. I remember being a young believer and reading it and being confused. I don't know, as we read the story, if you've never read it before, what she wants and what she needs. My daughter is demon-possessed. Jesus, you have the power and authority. You can heal her and deliver her. Help me. That seems normal, right up into the point where we find how Jesus responds. And so we're going to talk about that. And I want to just say this. There may be someone here physically or here that is listening to this message tonight that you feel like things are lined up against you. And I mention this because when we find, you know, her request and how Jesus responds to her initially, it almost appears for a time that Jesus is against her. And I say this because I tell you, there will be times in your life when you feel like the cards are against you. The world is against you. Life is against you. Sometimes your own body seems to have turned against you. Other times your own mind seems to turn against you. Another time your own heart seems to be against you. Sometimes your own family seems to be against you. Sometimes circumstances all seem like the stars align to be against you. And you cannot help. The natural result of all that is to wonder, maybe even God is against me. Though you know differently on one level. Have you ever been in a place, if you're a believer, where you knew that God was with you and loved you and for you and the promises of God, but it felt like he was against you? You ever been there? Then you are right where this woman was at that particular time. Now, here's an interesting quote. Samuel Rutherford was a Scottish pastor, and he once said this. I'm going to read the quote and then let you hear what it's really trying to say. He said, "It is faith's work to claim and challenge loving kindnesses out of all the roughest strokes of God." Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Shall I read it again? Listen carefully. "It is faith's work to claim and challenge loving kindnesses out of all the roughest strokes of God." In other words, you have a strike against you. And you are feeling on one level, this is against me. Maybe even God is against me. But it means that faith decides and determines that no matter what I feel like and no matter what it appears, I know that God, my God, is for me. And I am purposed in my heart to believe that he means for my good. It is a purpose. It is a determination in the face of opposing winds, storms, odds, the enemy jumping in on top of that, trying to discourage you. And where you look for it and say, no, God means this for good. And I think this is a powerful and important lesson for all of those who would be disciples of Jesus Christ. Because the enemy would love to trap you into your weaknesses, your failures, and be able to say to you, but you still have that mark that was against you. Something maybe that happened to you, something that was beyond your control. Sometimes the worst ones are when you were the guilty one, you were responsible. You brought the foolishness upon your own house. But know this, our Father in heaven is so gracious and he is so loving that he says, I will turn everything and work all things together for your good. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
In other words, no matter even my own mistakes and my own failures and all the rest of it, it was good in this sense, what God taught me, what God brought out of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you let me fall on my face. Thank you, Father, for letting me trip and even stumble. I thought I knew better. Thank you that I learned I don't want to do that again. Thank you that I don't want to be in charge of my own happiness. I don't want to do my own will. I've been there, done that, had it, done with it. I want thy will and thy will alone. Because the purpose of our Father in heaven is, believe it or not, it's not just for a few, the super saints. But the will of our Father in heaven is that you here tonight, every single one of you, the one who thinks they are the least Christian, the least spiritual, the last of the flock, the Father's goal is that you personally will be completely conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. So much so that you will be lost in him. All that will be seen in you and burning and shining through you is Jesus mingled with your personality in a unique way, reflecting his light and glory and love as no one else could.
Amen?
Amen? Therefore, you do not have to live with regrets. God's will is not that you would live in regret, but his will is that you would learn, that he will humble you and he will teach you.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's such a blessing to hear from our radio listeners who found biblical help and hope through this ministry.
Dear Ray Bentley, I was at a very low time in my life, a time when I was starting to question the existence of God. I felt as if God was nowhere in my time of need. I received one of your radio offers about discouragement. It opened my eyes and showed me that God was everywhere. In fact, I see now that God allowed me to endure this time of pain to strengthen my love and commitment toward him. It's funny how God works sometimes. Right when you think he's nowhere to be found, there he is.
How have these studies in God's Word had an impact on your life or impacted your family? Would you drop Pastor Ray an email and let him know? Write ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com. It would be such an encouragement to hear from you today. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Well, it's interesting. This woman has a real tenacious faith. She has a daughter who is under the influence of demons. We don't know if she's demon-possessed, which is from the inside, or oppressed of demons, which is from the outside. But how many of you have children? Let me see how many parents we have here. Wow. How many of you have teenagers? Doesn't every parent at one point or another say, I think my kid's totally demon-possessed, man. They've lost. You say, how do you know? Well, their head was spinning around, green stuff's coming out. I don't know who it was. Something took a hold of my teenager. Well, we laugh about that, and it is true. They do kind of lose their minds for a while. But at the same time, there really is. You know, the devil is real. Satan is real. In fact, his name in Hebrew means to oppose. He opposes God. And if he loses the battle for one generation, he immediately goes for the next generation. If he loses a mom or a dad to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he immediately goes for the sons or the daughters. And he loves to divide. And he goes after those who are weak and those who are vulnerable and those who are young and those who don't know any better. He is a thief and a robber, and he wants to kill and to destroy. And as parents, we need to love them. You can't automatically, just because you have children and you're saved, doesn't mean they're automatically saved. God doesn't have you heard this? God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. First generation, sons and daughters. Everyone must be born again into the family of God. And, so I have a son and a daughter who grew up, and, you know, it's challenging being a pastor's kid. And they grew up being pastor's kids and held to a certain bar. And so they did. They rebelled and they went sideways. There were times when I thought they were demon-possessed. Man, I got to get the elders together. We got to get those demons out of them. But, you know, we also had to pray. And I remember there were battles. There were times where, boy, I'll remember my wife grabbing at a certain time of rebellion in our son and daughter's life. And she was in this meeting and they were losing it. And we were serving the Lord. And she grabs hold of the chair in front of her and she squeezed it. And she started praying. And she prayed a prayer of commitment and call. And I mean, you know, there's nothing like a mom's prayer for her children. It rips through heaven. It's powerful. God hears the prayers of a mother or a father who calls upon the name of the Lord for their children. And I want to encourage you that God hears prayer. We can give to them a protection. They have to personally come to a decision of following Jesus Christ. But at least we can give them that protection. I believe that prayer does give a covering. It does give a shield. You want all the demons out of the way so that when they make the choice, their influence is from the Lord. Amen? And they're wooed and won by the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, devils are real. Demonic oppression is real. And believers take comfort in the promise. I don't have this in your notes, but you can write down 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you call on the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Whenever you see that there's, you know, this attitude of resistance and rebellion. Rebellion, the Bible says, is as the sin of witchcraft. In other words, it has a demonic root to it. And when kids are in rebellion, they've been thrown one way or another into league with the devil. It is a spiritual battle, and you need to begin there. And I like what my pastor Chuck told me. Whenever you come into a spiritual battle, know the three R's. Number one, recognize that you're in a spiritual battle. Sometimes, you know, even I forget and I go, man, why is this happening? Why is this so hard? What is going on? I don't know. There's confusion. There's all, and all of a sudden, bing, the light goes on. You're in a spiritual battle, dude. You are in a spiritual warfare. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I feel that this opposition, this attitude, this rebellion, this subterfuge that's going on underneath, I recognize it's from the enemy. Number two, resist. Jesus said, you resist the devil. Why? I'm your son. Why does he let the devil do so much? How many wonder why the devil's got such a long chain? He's just running around like a roaring lion. And I'm God's son and you're his daughter. Well, I don't know all the answers to that. I just know that that's the way it is. And the Lord could just rebuke and resist him all, but he allows. Again, for his own purposes, you need to know this. God is using even Satan himself that he might be glorified. God is being glorified and he is using the devil. The devil has parameters. He can't do anything outside the will of God. And sometimes God allows the devil. I mean, the book of Job in chapter 1, Job had no idea what's going on. He's down here on the earth. Everything is wonderful and great. And the devil is up there and God begins bragging on Job. I don't know that that's such a good thing, you know. Have you seen my servant Job? What an awesome guy. And the devil goes, well, yeah, you've got him all hedged in. He's all blessed and protected. And you take that away and he'll curse you and run away. And God goes, okay, you can do this, but you can't do that. Anyway, that's kind of the behind the scenes, one of the chapters that lets us in. And boy, you could go a whole night on that. But the point is, there is spiritual battle. We need to recognize it. And here's the second point I wanted to make, to resist. Obviously, the Lord resists him. God resists him. The kingdom of heaven resists him. But God is teaching and training his sons and daughters to inherit his royal throne and kingdom. Therefore, he wants you and I to join with him and learn to take authority in the royal blood we have from Christ and personally, in the name of Jesus, by his power and authority, resist the devil. Where I resist the devil, I recognize what he is up to, and I say no to him from my own heart and my own mind, and now anointed with the power and the authority of Christ. So, recognize, resist, and then thirdly, you've got to do all three, or you're going to be missing something. Number three. Immediately, and this is the one that so oftentimes we forget, so we're constantly like, oh man, I'm just battling demons and devils all day long, you know. Number three, rejoice. Once you have called on the name of the Lord and the power and authority of Jesus Christ, you don't need to whine and cry and, you know, oh, poor me. No, recognize, resist the devil in Jesus' name, and then begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. Praise is expressing faith. God, I don't like what's going on. I don't see and understand it all. And I know I'm being opposed by the devil, but I recognize him. I resist him in your name. And I rejoice that you're going to be glorified one way or another. And I believe that when you rejoice, that the glory of God comes upon you, the power of God comes upon you. And there is a fire to the presence of the Lord that burns demons. The best way I can describe it, it hurts them. The fire of the glory of the presence of a son of God who is delighting in the Lord and worshiping and praising him, it burns them and they have to back away. They don't like that. How many like that thought? You know, of literally being burning and on fire and repelling as it were. So recognize, resist, and rejoice. Now look with me in verse 26. So here's this poor woman. She's come to Jesus. In verse 26, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him, listen to this, she kept asking Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now, I'm going to throw in another gospel. The Gospel of Matthew tells this same story, and the idea is, and Matthew adds, that Jesus didn't say anything to her. Imagine this poor woman finding Jesus, following Jesus, crying out to him over and over and over again, please help my daughter. Please deliver my daughter. Please, she's oppressed of this demon. And Jesus' first response was to say nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, this first response of Jesus to this poor woman is really quite shocking. After literally months of ministering and delivering and healing multitudes of people all over Israel, he doesn't say one word to this hurting woman. And then finally, since Jesus doesn't say anything, he's just being quiet, and she's begging and pleading, please, please, will you help my daughter? And the disciples get the idea that Jesus' silence, they interpret that as he's being kind of bugged by this lady. So they come up and they suggest to Jesus, Jesus, should we just send her away? Should we just kind of get rid of her? She's pestering and bothering you. But I want you to note what this woman did. She saw them and their positioning, and what does she do? She persists to drive herself close to Jesus. She would let nothing deter her from getting close to Jesus. Can you see an application in that? Let nothing deter you from getting close to Jesus. But more than when she got to Jesus, what did she do when she got to him? She fell at his feet. She humbled herself. She doesn't stand there and demand. She is humble. She is on her knees. She is pleading. She is begging for Jesus to help her.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out many parallels from our study today in Mark chapter 7. And there's more to come in this message here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled Faith for a Miracle. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, by clicking Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo, three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can arrange to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions each day automatically at no charge. And also, you can link to his YouTube and Facebook pages. So why not bookmark it, raybentley.com. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.